हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 14, chapter 84. Shloka Anushana. 1 to 15. Lord Krishna receives the great sages. 16 to 26. The sages speak. 27 to 71. The sages reply to Vasudeva's question and perform sacrifice in order to please him. Verses 1 to 15. Lord Krishna receives the sages. Sukadeva Goswami said, Prita, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, the wives of other kings and the Lord's cowherd girlfriends, were all amazed to hear of the Queen's deep love for Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and soul of all beings, and their eyes filled with tears. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. In the 84th chapter, there is a mutual praise between Krishna and the sages. Questions by Vasudeva. Performance of Yajna by Vasudeva and Nanda's departure for Vraja. Though Gandhari, Subala Putri, Draupadi, Yajnaseni, and Subhadra Madhai all heard the discussions of the queens, those such as Gandhari did not hear directly because it was not fitting for them to be involved in the intimate discussion with questions and answers between Draupadi and the queens in such independent way. Because Draupadi and Subhadra were intimate friends of the same age with the queens, it was proper that they heard directly. The cowherd women living in another place, because of their different caste, heard even more indirectly. The word indicates this separation of distance. By the word sva, since they identified themselves as the internal energy of Krishna, they would have to carry on their intimate pastimes, such as embracing, without others seeing every night at that place. But in Kurukshetra, a holy place, one should understand that they carried out the practice of brahmacharya and did not engage in such activities. The gopis also were also astonished and shed tears on hearing the queen's pastimes, because they were pastimes concerning Krishna, and they saw there was a very slight similarity to their own emotions. It should be understood that the gopis did not have overwhelming attraction to the queen's pastimes. Right? So it's not that they're attracted to the queen's pastimes like that. Yes. So the we see is that it's the Lord's pastimes and the pastimes of the devotees. It's all based on pure devotion, but it still follows all the etiquettes that naturally follow in this. Because you have to remember is that when you perform a human pastimes, there's certain etiquettes that go on. Those are formalized more when you're dealing with majesty, but the basic is there. So it's not that, oh, it's all about Krishna, it doesn't matter, or it's all rasa, so it's all the same, or no, these things don't apply. It means we try to apply them simply because we can't make the distinction. But if you check in your own life, we do make distinction. We just don't like to make that distinction with others. Right? In other words, I can poke my nose into anybody's business, and no one should poke their nose into mine. You know, it's a very simple formula. So we see here is that only if they have the same kind of age and nature, then they're together. So that's why when it mentions all these different queens, and they themselves were amazed at the love of the queens, of, you know, Krishna's queens. So then we see is that the elder ones, like Gandhari and Kunti and that, they wouldn't hear directly. They would have heard, you know, indirectly, because they wouldn't be there. Subhadra, because she is of the same age, a friend, intimate friend of Draupadi, so it's not a problem. So it's not that anybody the same age, but she's a close. Then, and she being a queen, then she is also there. So that's not a problem. And the gopis, because it's the different community and all that, then they heard indirectly, or even more indirectly. The other ones would have heard kind of immediately. They would have heard after a little few stages. Right? But the point is they're all appreciating the rasa that Krishna has with the devotees. That's the essential point. Right? That rasa is appreciated. This concept, the sahajya concept where, I only appreciate my own rasa, is very narrow. That means we don't actually understand the generic sense of something. And therefore we can say, no, it's just about the conjugal rasa. Then according to the acharyas, then no, it's not. It's all about you. Because if you only say, I can only hear the pastimes of the gopis, I don't like the other pastimes, it's about you, it's not about Krishna and the gopis. But because the Krishna and gopis happen to you pleased by hearing that, that's why you're listening. If something else was pleasing to you, like dragons and dungeons or something, then you'd be listening to that or doing that. So it's not about rasa, it's about what you get from it. So that's why we call it sahajya. Because it's not actually, it's just making things very cheap. It's not really us.
And if we take, for example, we have 64 angas of devotional service.
Yes.
And some people are inclined towards some angas, and some people are inclined towards the others, according to their conditioned nature. But wouldn't we put it also in the same way? Because it's whatever we want to do for Krishna, because that's what we feel.
Yeah, but that's engaging our conditioning. But when you're talking about being in the pastimes, then it's got to be about Krishna. Yeah, because in the Sankirtan pastimes, then everybody's involved, and then they find their place there. But in the spiritual pastimes, then you have to qualify. It means, in other words, if you don't appreciate Braja Bhakti as a generic element, you won't appreciate a specific rasa. Does that make sense? It's like if you don't like fruit, you're not going to like apples. You know, because you appreciate fruit, then out of fruit, then there's something that's prominent. So that's how it works.
So can we say that in Lord Chaitanya's last name, Dasya Ras, is the generic? And
with Lord Chaitanya, yes.
And everybody can take part in it.
Yes, everybody can take part.
And then the more we become purified, then it becomes more specific.
More specific in relationship to Krishna and Vrindavan. But the relationship with Lord Chaitanya is always servitorship. It doesn't change. So, we clear on this? Because this is the point we want to make. So the gopis can appreciate, but they don't have overwhelming attraction. In other words, they appreciate rasa. And so they appreciate the love they have and all that. And so because it's Krishna and that love for Krishna, it's attractive. But they don't have that overwhelming attraction. But the point is they appreciate. So we're making the point about the sahajyas, they don't appreciate. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, as the women thus talked among themselves and the men among themselves, a number of great sages arrived there, right? Because when you talk them, women amongst themselves, men amongst themselves, you can talk very freely. Because it's very rare something that, if that mood is right, that whatever the men are saying will disturb each other. Right? You can just speak freely. And if the women are together, they can speak freely. But when it's mixed, you can't speak freely. Everything has to be judged. If you ever speak freely, you'll get yourself in trouble. Right? Because what men think are pretty normal, women will think are you know, is offensive. And what women will think is perfectly normal, men will think, you know, they can't understand. They'll think it's very emotional and you know, like this. Does that make very complicated? Does that make sense? So that's why there is this aspect that when you sit general, it's not that they can't do things together. We see they do plenty of things together. But when those things are there, then all the etiquettes that apply between the masculine and the feminine are applied. And then when you have just men alone or women alone, then you don't, that becomes very, very relaxed, because it's very, it, you don't really have it. It'll be something, who's senior, who's junior. There'll be a little bit there, but not much. Does that make sense? So that's why both these flavors have to be there, because if they discuss together, it enhances their own nature. So when they get together, then that enhances that, the difference. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, rasa is tasted in the difference, not in the, it, does that make sense? It means there's a commonality of sameness, but there has to be difference to appreciate it. If everything's one, there's nothing to appreciate. And if everything's two, there's nothing to appreciate. It's only the combination. So that means the more men are with the men, they become more men. And the women with the women become more women. Then when they get together, you have the most, more extreme of men and women. Does that make sense? And then they deal on that, plus the intensity of it, because it is more intense. Therefore, then, that time spent is not unlimited. It has this limited space. Then they go back into their own places. Yes?
That's when we talk about the two, like Madhvacharya said, always two.
Yeah.
What would be their maximum amount of rasa they get to, the Madhvas?
It's not about in tasting rasa, because when we're talking about the eternal pastimes and that, then you'll see he'll talk about the oneness. But when he's talking on preaching and anything here and how the conditioned soul realize the Lord, he'll only talk two. Like that. So it's just a technique for when one's here, that one always distinguishes one's different. Otherwise, one tends to become proud or this or that, or if there is any latent, impersonal concepts, then they can come up. So in other words, Ramanuja, who he dealt with, and that was all the ones who could take that. The ones who couldn't deal with that, they were left. So Madhvacharya had to be more strict on this point.
Sometimes we hear about swajatiya.
Swajatiya.
And here also we are seeing there should be some difference also. So where we can draw a line, like is same nature.
Yeah. No, but within the same nature, then there's difference. You're an individual, they're an individual. So that you just have to be able to accommodate that. There's something common, that's why you're together, but there's a difference, that's why you're able to interact. Right?
So always Achintya Veda will simultaneously one and difference.
Yeah. That's the Vedic formula. You gotta get used to that one. Okay, as the women thus talked among themselves and the men amongst themselves, a number of great sages arrived there, all of them eager to see Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. Balaram, yeah. They included Dvaipayana, Narada, Chavana, Devala, and Asita, Vishramitra, Shatananda, Bharadvaja, and Gotama, Lord Parasaram and his disciples, Vashishta, Galava, Bhrigu, Pulastya, and Kasyapa, Atari, Markandeya, and Brihaspati, Dvita, Trita, Ekata, and the four Kumaras, and Angira, Agastya, Yagyavalkya, and Vamanadeva. As soon as they saw the sages approaching, the kings and other gentlemen who had been seated immediately stood up, including the Pandava brothers and Krishna and Balaram. They all bowed down to the sages, who are honored throughout the universe. Lord Krishna, Lord Balarama, and the other kings and leaders properly worshiped the sages by offering them words of greeting, sitting places, water for washing their feet, drinking water, flower garlands, incense, and sandalwood paste. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Krishna, full of all powers, along with Balarama and others, worship the sages with items of worship, starting with Swagata, using proper items. Right? Because you have the 16 items, so whatever applies. Right? you know, a swagata. That's the item in swagata, is where you greet somebody. You have the asana and you greet them, then the padya margya maksimaniya, like this. So whatever applies there, then they offered all these things. Since Krishna was the root form of all of them, by worshipping them, the worship of Krishna was also accomplished. Right? Because one would say, oh, but how could Krishna worship? How you have to worship Krishna? But the point is their potency, that they are sages, that brahminical nature, the nature of the sadhus, the nature of knowledge, all that's Krishna. So all they were is representing Krishna in this particular form as sages. So by worshipping them, understanding that this comes from Krishna, you're worshipping Krishna. So just in case we're worried that, oh, Krishna's not being worshipped here, he is being worshipped here. So all these great personalities, that's how they always see Krishna in everything, so they see here. So they follow the etiquettes, they worship the sages, because that's how you worship Krishna in this form. Another version has Acharyan instead of Acharyat. Each of the sages was worshipped with the articles as each arrived, but not in the order listed. Right? So, as they arrived, the order is given here that he's mentioned, is not necessarily they arrived in that order. But however they arrived, then that's how they were greeted. Because it doesn't appear that they all just came at once, but they all started coming at that time. So as they are coming, then they do. So it's not necessarily that this is all, because they've been talking now all this time. Does that make sense? So it's not that this is just that one time. You're explaining one time of them talking, but it's not that this is not what's going on. So as they come to see, then... Or each was worshipped with the articles in this order as part of the method of worship. Means according to Svagatam, like this. According, you go through the 16 items in the proper way. One must first remedy any misfortune that has occurred to the protectors of the worlds by welcome. Right? So first you welcome, you see to anything that's there. And then you get into this official worship. Does that make sense? It's not that when they come now it has to be the worship and you're in control. It's about what do they require. So that's why I generally see someone comes from a long distance, and the first thing is that you receive them, and then after that, then they may, need to take some rest or a bath or eat or any of those and all that. And then after all this is taken care of, then you then interact and what's the business and all these things. Does that make sense?
Mike, it seems that it is more important to the personal relationship at the time.
Personal is always. We always have to remember is that the personal interaction, not the technical interaction itself, but the experience that is gained from relationship is actually what is concrete.
Yes.
Right? So you as a person, what dealing with other persons or other things, what that generates in feeling, that's what's concrete. And the mechanical aspects of going through these other aspects, those are what produce the experience. So they're important because they produce experience, but their only purpose is producing experience. Right? So now the idea is how to produce that experience in connection with Krishna. So then they showed that one aspect, how they're worshipping and how they see it all connected to Krishna. You know, they follow the etiquettes because the relationships, that's the main part. In other words, it's the closest. You have the experience and then the relationships there. Then the qualities that are there, then the technique, the knowledge, is the technique. You know, like this, it all goes away. Yeah. Then one should offer a seat. After that, one should offer foot wash with drops of water using a pot for sprinkling water. Achman is also included in this, right? Because when you say padya means that group. Means if you know puja, then here is that you bring the deities, they're put on their asana, and then you do swagatam. You know, so it'll be asana swagatam. But if somebody's coming, you're first going to greet them, then take them and seat them. So in other words, in practical greeting, you're going to do swagatam first. That's why they say like swagatam like that. Because if you're thinking the deity room, then you're going to put the Lord on the asana, then you're going to do swagatam. Because it's all right there. But they haven't coming. So when someone comes, you first go out to greet them. Then going out to, you know, it's not that you're taking the asan with you. And before he says something, wait, sit, you know, like that. Okay, now, no, doesn't work that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when you say swagatam, then that includes that you're going to greet them and that. Then, all these, that when you say padyam, then that means it includes whatever else goes with them. Padyam, argyam, achmaniyam, madhu, parka, punar, achman, like that. You're going to give a seat because you're going to, they don't do that standing. Right, so that goes together. That will be one group. Then if you say snan, then that means you're doing the bath, you're drying them, then you're putting tilak, your Brahman thread, you are putting cloth, you're putting sandalwood paste and scents like that, that whole group, ornaments, flowers, tulsi, all that goes together. Right? Then the next one then will be, then you're doing the, you know, how you say, receiving them. You know, the artiks and those things like that. Then you have the boga. You understand? So these are all the different asanas. So in other words, they're known by their groupings. First one's mantrasana, snanasana, alankarasana, then, what do you call it? The bojasana, then you have shayanasana, like that for resting. So you have all these asanas that all those things go together. Does that make sense? So then it's, yeah. So, that's the point, is the Bhagavatam is just showing what is the essential point, the relationship, and how that's there. The other stuff's then you know. You know, it's just like, let us say, like, okay, you go for something advanced. Let's say you want to do some computer programming. Right? They do expect you to know how to type, and know what a computer is, and what an on button looks like, and what a cord looks like, and a plug in the wall looks like, and you know how to connect that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point. The Bhagavatam is actually an advanced study. That's why then we study Gita and those things first, so we can appreciate it. Yes.
When there is, for example, for the deity, and worshipping the deity, and some devotee came.
Yeah, then you stop and go receive the devotee.
Yeah.
If others are there to receive, better they receive, because you're doing the puja, but if you're the only one there, then you go and receive.
To receive at any part of the puja.
Yeah. You know, you might take 1 second to, need be, cover the Lord with a towel or something like that, depending on where you are in the puja. Then when the person is in good health, one should offer argya and other items with attention. Then one should offer unguents like sandalwood. Right? So in other words, it's mentioning the different positions within the 16 items, that the groupings that go. So achman, all those are there, then after that, then you go with argya, like that, anything with attention, those things, then you do the unguents. So it's just, all these things should be done and you see that it's there, because they go together. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued. After the sage, because otherwise you're going to go into further, unless if they're not in good health, then better they can go rest. You receive them, wash the feet, then they go and rest.
Yes.
If they're in good health, then you can do all the further official kind of things. Yeah. So it's not that the person flew halfway around the planet, landed at the airport, then you get in the car, drive to the temple. As soon as you get to the temple, they take you straight into the deity, you know, into the temple room. Then it's the whole thing, the temple class, everybody this and that. And then afterwards, then you're supposed to meet with the managers and all that. And no, that's not how it's supposed to work. It may be popular, but, you know, that's why then these people disappear for months on end, because their health's not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. After the sages were comfortably seated, the Supreme Lord Krishna, whose transcendental body protects religious principles, addressed them in the midst of that great assembly. Everyone listened silently with rapt attention. The Supreme Lord said, "Now our lives are indeed successful, for we have attained life's ultimate goal, the audience of great yoga masters, which even demigods only rarely obtain." How is it that people who are not very austere and who recognize God only in his deity form in the temple can now see you, touch you, inquire from you, bow down to you, worship your feet, and serve you in other ways? Mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage, nor are mere images of earth and stone the true worshipable deities. These purify one only after a long time. But saintly sages purify one immediately upon being seen. So in other words, why this is there, he's instructing that it's not the activities that we're doing of pious activities or even the devotion, it's the association of devotees is what makes it work.
Yes.
We're worshiping the deities, but there's no association of devotees. You know, we're chanting, not associate, all these things, then that it won't actually develop that well. Because it's they're the ones who inspire us and train us how to do these things. Otherwise, how would we know what to do? So that's the important aspect, is that not that these aren't done, but these are done in context of worshiping, you know, taking advantage of advanced association. So just like in the deity worship, if you're not performing the aspects of Swadhyaya, which include taking care of guests, devotees, you know, worshiping Tulsi, the Dham, all these different aspects that are connected to Krishna, then the worship is considered neophyte. Because neophytes appreciate the deity, don't appreciate anyone else. Right? That's how you tell. Yes.
You see that everywhere, whenever a pure devotee discovers Krishna Katha, like Bhishma Dev, when he was on the deathbed, all the sages come and hear. So,
yes.
Because these are great sages, so wherever Krishna Katha goes and bona fide devotees within, they come. Like in my stage life. So,
you want to know why the sages haven't been coming? When you laid down on your bed of blanket,
so actually,
then why no one came?
So, sometimes it so happens, all day there is hearing is there, but we tend to have our own reading and.
No, that's fine. I mean, that's what bhajan means, is you are applying yourself. It doesn't mean that it has to be going on all the time. You know, it means that would be, you know, sentimental. It means that you appreciate that, so when the opportunity is there, you take advantage. See, Krishna appreciates, so immediately they're all talking, the sages come, they get up and go greet them. Not that they're all talking, and so, you know, what do they need to talk to see the sages? But, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, neophyte devotees or religionists cannot understand the importance of great mahatmas. That's interesting. Religionists. Because now and again in lists sometimes you see religionists mentioned. Because they're into the rules and regulations. So basically religionists think that the technical religious aspects is what actually makes for religion. They don't understand is where does that religion comes from? That comes from Krishna. He gave the nature of everything. Right? He gave the ritual. He gave the results. So that means someone who's actually proper religion, then they see Krishna. So that aspect of it. The devotional is the main. But otherwise, the neophytes tend to think it's the ritual that's the main. And as you advance, you see it's no love for Krishna is the main. Does that make sense? So the neophyte is more focused on the secondary, while as you advance, you start to focus more on the primary. It's not that the secondary is not theirs. We see Krishna and all his associates are performing all the secondary, but they're only in support of the primary. Right? The effect that they get is that remembrance of Krishna, not what material benefits they'll get. Does that make sense?
Because of the pride of the neophyte devotee that I know the ritual.
The pride? You can, but it's... But I would take it back, not look at the pride so much as the quality, but the pride from the element of ignorance, of ignorance. Is that they're identifying with the conditioned nature. And because their conditioned nature is doing it, that's what makes it important. It's the same principle we mentioned before. You know, we think that, you know, sahajas, because I'm doing this, that's why it's important. If they were doing something else, that would be important. So that's the tendency. But because it's connected to Krishna, it will give all auspicious results. That's the whole point. We're only pointing out the weakness in it simply that one will be inspired to actually come to the advanced stage. But not that the weakness is there so it doesn't work. Neophytes might interpret it that way, but it shouldn't be done that way. Oh, this is all this chanting, unless it's pure, it's all useless, so then, oh, why should I chant? No, the whole point is it's being brought out so that it's the primary that's the main thing. So, yeah, so just that the neophyte tends to focus more on the secondary. And it can be nicely engaged. Right? You have the Pancharatra process, you have the Vedic process, the Varnashram. You know, we've been kindly given the Bhagavat process, so how much we can do of that can we do? So then the whole idea is that we, according to our conditioning, will take part to, you know, various, you know, degrees and volume. And so then gradually, because we're in touch with Krishna, we get purified and you naturally move forward. The process is progressive. But if we maintain attachments or we commit offenses, that will slow down or stop the progress. So that's why those things are mentioned. You have to perform these activities without committing offense. Right? Then the things will move forward nicely. But what we're moving forward to is appreciating the primary aspect of Krishna and his relationship with the devotees and that pure love.
Can we say that the difference between when devotee is ordinary and advanced devotee, it is about to understand, to connect with the primary?
Yes, basically. So just the more we understand, as you notice, the farther we go along, it's bringing this point out.
Yes.
But on one level, we'll say, but technically that's so simple. I already learned that right at the beginning. Why is it doing that now? Because this is the point.
Yes.
But now they're showing it technically from so many angles. Philosophical angles, from cultural angles and all that. So you can see all these aspects. This is then what you're doing during those things. Rather than, okay, that's what we're doing, now let's get the technical going here. But it's no. It's about love of God. We happen to use the technical to support it. Does that make sense?
But here it is very smooth.
Here it's very smooth because it's natural, because it's all, because Krishna is everything, so it's very smooth that he includes everything. But the point is the Brahman and Paramatma aspects are there to support the Bhagavan aspects. Yes, and the Jnana and Kriya is to support each of them. You know, or you could say Sandini and Samvit, they're supporting Vladi. So that's the whole point. This is what it's for.
So it's a good idea, Maharaj, to try to at least to discuss about the primary.
Yes, no, it should always be included as much as you can. And depending upon what the topic is and who you're talking to, then you get into the specific details of how that will be applied.
Yes.
But it always should be in context. It's just like we were discussing, is that since the concrete means there's always the concept and knowledge of what's concrete, you know, or activity that's concrete and what's abstract.
Yes.
So the Vedic is the relationship, you know, that your experience, that's the concrete.
Yes.
And then the mechanics are the abstract. So that, but at the same time, is you're performing activities that express the concrete or give rise to the concrete by using the abstract.
Yes.
Right, because the abstract is the medium.
Yes.
Right, like you have a frying pan. It's abstract.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's doing is specifically then creating the preparation, you know, taking part in creating the preparation that gives, therefore, the experience.
Yes.
Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, now, then, in this, we have the ascending and descending. So, the ascending process, that deals with learning the knowledge and skills, you know, in a progressive order, from, you know, more simple up to more complex. Right? So depending upon your nature and ability, you'll learn a particular knowledge to in a particular way of application. Right? So you have So you have your field and you have your ability in that field. Right? But at the same time, we see the descending process, which is considered the real method of knowledge. Then that means you're hearing about Krishna and how he's connected everything, and so therefore, and we're the soul, our relationship with Krishna and all that, and then how that applies into our life. Then it goes down into detail. Does that make sense? So, the whole point is the descending already includes the ascending. Because having descended, now you're going to try to get to that goal. So you're always going to be judging everything you're doing in connection with the descending process. Mm-hmm. Right? But the ascending process will never get to the actual goal. Because it's beyond. That's the whole point. That's why it has to descend. It's beyond your scope of perception. Does that make sense? Yeah. What's outside your perception, what's outside your experience, that then has to descend. So, having heard about the descending, then we then learn how to apply the technical points, knowledge and skills. And in that way, then we progress. But we're only progressing to the goal of the descending because we know the descending is there. So they both have to be there at once. Because unless you know what the goal is, what the experience is, unless we know it's the love of God, love of Krishna, then how do all these other mechanics work? So we point out is that you're forgetting Krishna, so how are you going to develop love for him? You're doing this for something else. Then you can see it in context. You can say, no, it's going right. It's being done properly. This has to be offered to Krishna, so therefore it's technically right, and therefore I the best offerings for Krishna, and so therefore it's fine. So what about your attitude? What about that? You're just focusing on the technique itself. Why not also remember that it's to please Krishna? You know what I'm saying? Then that's where it starts to develop very nicely. Okay? Does that make sense? So the whole process is simply how to connect you to this, you know, principle of love for Krishna. In whatever condition we're in whatever way that we are. Yeah? But when one is... okay. Neophyte devotees or religionists cannot understand the importance of great mahatmas. Right? Because they think it's the ritual is there and so that's it. Or you ask them a question on how to do my ritual better. Right? They go to the temple as a matter of formality and pay their respectful obeisances unto the deity. Because it's good. It's proper. That's what the religionist means. But when one is promoted to the next platform of transcendental consciousness, one can understand the importance of mahatmas and devotees. And in that stage, one tries to please them. Right? So that means the Madhyama, he's trying to please them. The neophyte may do it because that's what's supposed to be done. You know, but the Madhyama, they're doing it the next stage because you appreciate it.
Yes. With the new association.
Yes, because that's the association. But so that's why you see it has to be written into the clauses also. Right? Because that way the neophyte will do it because they're willing to follow a structure for the benefit they get. Mm-hmm. And so if all these things that are done in advanced devotional service are written into it, then naturally you do that. Mm-hmm. But you think it's the ritual part of it when it's actually, no, it's the association. Does that make sense?
As we are seeing, primary is most important, but sometimes we see, like devotees, they are doing primary nicely, but they don't see how secondary is connected to primary. And after that... In the way of like following Varnashrama and acting according to the natures.
That's okay. It's okay as long as they're just engaged only exclusively in the primary. They just chant their rounds, attend the temple program, take prasad, go out, preach all day in whatever form they are, come back in the evening, there's more Krishna conscious activities like that, either evening artis or classes or some study of that, then they go to bed and get up in the morning and do the same, then it doesn't matter for them. But the point is everybody else, it does matter. So if they can't see that, then how successful will their preaching be? Because how you'll engage them, they're not going to do what that person is doing. They have to engage according to their nature. So you have to, if If you're actually sitting properly, then it goes. It means that they're very fortunate that they can be situated in this, but they're still a religionist. Because they think it's just this ritual is all to be done. They may be the most fortunate of all religionists, but they're still a religionist. Because they think it's not only doing chanting and all that, all the Maranasham, we don't need that. It's just like, then why is Krishna and everybody else following him? You know, and you, when we notice that they are on a little higher level of advancement than we are. So in other words, this is just the lifestyle Krishna follows. So in the beginning, we'll just see the external, right? That's how we got ourselves here. Now we're trying to see the external with Krishna, because before we saw the external without Krishna, so we came here. Now if you see the external with Krishna, then you start to go there. But when you actually get there, then it's not about the external.
Initially, 4 or 5 years, it is very good. Once they get that along with the primary and they're not able to connect the secondary, then...
Yeah, but that's why training is there in the beginning. That's why we said you have to deal with both. So some just do the top down and don't go all the way down, and some do the bottom up and don't go all the way up. You know, so in one sense, it's just chant and sankirtan and book distribution. On the other side, then it's, you know, whatever's the flavor of the day. You know, before it was Kavi, and then it's, now it's the Bono, and I think last year was, you know, so last year, the systems, you know, like this, it just keeps going. So where's the middle? You know, what happened to nectar devotion? You know, like this. So the one is, we only have to preach, make devotees, we don't have to train them, we don't have to cultivate them, because their cultivation is just going out and making more. But then, you know, since when did it say Lord Chaitanya only had one purpose in his coming? Does it say he only had one purpose? Of course we'll learn more about it after 2 years. Point is he came for the Sankirtan mission, to connect everyone to Krishna. He came to cultivate the devotees and the devotional process, and to taste love of God. Right? You know, specifically how Radharani is tasting that. But these three go together. Like that. So if you just do, you know, you have to do them all together. That's balance.
In this year, it says that Madhyama devotee is trying to please, whatever yes. He is doing is trying to please the devotees.
Right, right.
So the question is, how would Madhyama know that what he is doing is more towards being comfortable in the activity what he is doing, or towards pleasing the great souls? How would he know?
By analyzation. That's all. You have to look. You have to see. That's the point of contemplation. You contemplate. Therefore, Lord Krishna said that the neophyte cannot understand the importance of great sages, devotees, and ascetics. So we've been told about it, even though we may not appreciate it. So we work it into our process. And so by doing that, then we see that slowly we start to appreciate it. Right? So we may appreciate one person here, one person there, but eventually it has to include, you know, just those who are there. Yes?
Maharaj, as you said before, that... We need to include what an advanced devotee and what is on advanced platform in the beginning also, so that they can. So it actually helps in a way that.
But it's not the technical point of that, because the point is it's just secondary. Because as we said, is that you have technical points. They go in a progression. You know, it's just like you can't read unless you know the letters. Right? And unless you know words, then you can't, you know, deal with sentences. And if you don't understand sentences, how do you deal with paragraphs? And like this. And so it just goes up. But at the same time, is if you don't know that the whole purpose is the communication and the various experiences and all that are being expressed through these words, then how will you know what they're for? Otherwise, you can technically teach the child how to read, and they can read. Right? Which, except for English, basically everybody can do that once they start within a few weeks. Right? Once you memorize I think it's called phonemes make what sound. You can read. So you can hand a medical journal to, you know, in any other language than English to any 5-year-old, who's just learned to read in the last, you know, like month, they can read it. They'll have no idea what it means. So that's why then the descending aspect is there. But the point is, the descending is principal. It's primary. It doesn't change. So we'll generally take, oh, it's advanced because the technical points are more advanced. So then, oh, but if you do that, then you're going to tell them about Ras Lila and this one. That's technically advanced. No, we tell them about Krishna and love for Krishna and all that, and how the devotees have that surrender to Krishna. That's the primary point. And the secondary, it may have more basic and more advanced levels. So it's that combination. You have to see it's both of these together. But the point is the primary, the descending, is the main. And the secondary or the ascending, it supports that. So therefore, you're going to use secondary on a level that they can appreciate, you know, in a category and and a degree, you know, development that they can appreciate. But you're going to present the primary so that they know what it's for and how to keep going until they get there. Does that make sense? You understand? That's the meaning. So what's happening is that, oh, because these two aren't separated, therefore we have hard preaching and soft preaching. Like that. But actual preaching is not hard or soft. It's what's necessary. Does that make sense? That's the whole point.
That's what differentiates the normal person who sees them and acharya, like how it is.
Yeah, that's why we follow the acharyas. What they say, we follow. Right? You know, so it's not because someone has a bald head, that's why we follow them.
And then we also observe, like, many times we personally feel when we are preaching to somebody, oh, this person doesn't like it, he may not catch. But we suddenly see something which we find in which may be very advanced for him. He appreciates that much more easily.
Yeah. It's just a matter, because the point is we don't know what this person's Ajnata Sukriti is. Where they've developed, what they've done. It's like, there's this deer hanging out around the ashram of the sages, right? And whenever they're speaking about transcendental subject matters, the deer is standing over on the side listening. Why is that deer listening? Because when they move the hand, he thinks he's got some food in it and he's trying to see what he's doing. Because it's Jarabharat, that's why. You understand? Or then as Jarabharat in the next life, he appears like he's an idiot. But he's doing that on purpose, just so that he doesn't get materially entangled. You understand? So you can't tell, you don't know. So what attracts somebody where, that you have to see. So that's why you start with the principle, because that's the all attractive to all living entities. Then in the details, it'll be according to their position in society, their varna, their ashram, you know, their purity, their piety and impiety, you know, and then details within that. So then you speak according to the details that match them, the principles that are above, the primary principle. That's the thing, it matches perfectly. That's preaching. So the thing is no, it's only preaching and it's this, so you get your hardcore book distributors and everybody else is not actually even a devotee, but, you know, we tolerate them because they do all the stuff that makes it so we can do Sankirtan, and that way then, you know, maybe next life they'll become a book distributor, right? You know, straight up front, you know, smart to Brahmins. Yeah, in India, you go to them, they'll tell any Westerner that to their face. That's like, you know, this is, yeah, it's good you're doing this, is pious, then maybe next life you take birth as a Hindu. Yeah, so, you know, not very advanced. But the service they're doing, it is. Like a Smarta Brahmin, you're not going to get a better lifestyle than they're living on the planet. But the problem is they themselves aren't very advanced. They're living the best lifestyle, but their consciousness is the same like everybody else. In fact, maybe even a little bit more, you know, like a pious Ku Klux Klan. Yeah. You understand? No. They wear white. They have funny hats. No? Okay. So if you get into it, there's a problem there. But at the same time, as we'll respect, because they're Brahmins, they're living the recommended lifestyle. But their consciousness is not very developed. Right? So all you have to do is add Krishna consciousness, and they are light years ahead of everybody else. So if they do take it up, then they're the best. And if they don't take it up, then they're the worst. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the aspect that you're looking at there. So that aspect's there. But so you have to see is that, you know, or if you take the other side, it's all about the religionist. It's all about this and the ritual, this and that. If you're not doing this and that, so you see that they're very similar, the two. They think they're very different. The Sahaja and the Maya, that they're the same. It's just one likes to do it in karma, one likes to do it in jnana. That's all. But it's the same thing, the same materialistic consciousness. So that's the thing, is the only way you get rid of it is engaging someone according to their secondary nature, but based on the primary principle. So that's preaching. That's cultivating devotees. And even as advanced, they'll still function according to that. You know what I'm saying? They still do those jobs. They don't do something else. You know, it's not that as Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his pastime of revealing his position as advanced devotee, then his occupation started changing. You know what I'm saying? It's still the same.
So we can say that the main point to advance from the secondary to the primary is the association with Mahan, because for example,
yes,
you mentioned about the smarta, but also for Bali Maharaj, he was following everything that he got because the mercy, because of association of Pranam,
yes,
Maharaj and all this.
Yes, yes. Same with Pachina Barhishad. Because he was there with the smartest, doing everything. So such a religious person. Or Maharaj Nriga, such a religious person, but because they didn't have association with those who were advanced in the process. Right? They had advanced to those who were advanced in religion, but not those who are advanced in the proper understanding of philosophy or devotion. Therefore, then they get stuck on that level. So they were the best in that. So we're not saying that they won't become good at that. We're not saying that being engaged in Krishna's service is not going to be excellent. What we're saying is that until the consciousness adjusts, it won't be. It'll be excellent to that degree that the consciousness is being brought in line with Krishna consciousness.
We talk about this process that the smartest follow, we try to follow.
They follow, we try to follow. But when it comes to devotion, we follow and they don't even know it exists. Yeah, so.
Wouldn't the process itself also purify them in a sense?
They are pure, but because it's not in devotion, they only get piety for it. So only when it's done in devotion, then you get bhakti for it. Does that make sense? So in other words, if we do the activities of devotional service, but it's not... We're following it because of the religious aspect. It's not given to us by the pure devotees. Right? This, that means the process of getting up, taking the Brahma Muhurta, taking bath, doing all these different things, worshipping the deity, offerings, prasad, you know, the vegetarian, the cleanliness, and all these different aspects. But they're getting it from, you know, someone else in the smarta line. Right? So they're only getting the religion part. So they can become very advanced in that religion. But the problem is they're not getting the devotional part. So even though those activities are the same activities of devotional service, it's only when you come in contact with the bona fide devotees that the chit potency is there. Then it gives a devotional result. Right? So, because we have to see the source. That's why the devotees. So we see is like the Ratha Yatra is arranged by the devotees. So the person just sees it, has no idea, but they get devotional credit, but they don't know. So it's called Agyata Supriti, unknown pious. But it still will culminate in Shraddha. while the others, then they're performing all their rituals and doing all their different things like that, and they're seeing it, but they're not going to get any more than just mundane piety. So it's pious. That's why I said the word pious can be used in devotion or for non-devotion. Generally, we use bhakti and piety. Just, but sometimes you see is that, that like talking about Krishna's sons. One son sees the other son on Krishna's lap and he says, oh, here's the most pious person. Because what piety is required that he is now able to sit on Krishna's lap. So in other words, the piety that you perform in devotion to the Lord, that's the piety required. And so he has a volume of that, therefore he is, you know, one of the sons of Krishna.
So that's the normal force of action that happens to devotees. But we see sometimes devotees, they join through Srila Prabhupada, through the books and everything. But then it takes them to piety instead of devotion. Then they consider the secondary more important because they want to get some material results.
But they came already thinking that secondary is more important. They didn't know about primary.
Yes.
So now they'll be seeing that they may be attracted by the primary aspect, but the focus will be on the secondary processes of devotional service. And so being focused on the secondary, then going that direction, you can just keep going.
And what should we do with them?
It's just a matter of bringing out the primary connected with everything that they're doing. It's just showing that everything that they're doing, what they're looking for, is there in the primary. It's within devotional service. They don't have to go outside devotional service. Because it's not that there is something outside devotional service. So
their situation would be more secure still than the previous example.
Previous example?
The smartest?
The smart, yes. Because they are doing things connected to Krishna, just they'll move very slowly. Or if there's attachments, the weeds will be growing and their devotion may stop, but it won't be lost. Well, the smartest never had it. What is it, that saying?
Yeah.
Better to have had devotion and lost it than to never have had devotion at all. Isn't that the saying?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Perfect.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he defines as a bhakton mukha sukruti.
Bhakton mukha.
Differentiating it from the normal piety.
Yes. Bhakton mukha.
And then he says, when it is completely mature, then you surrender to the devotees.
Right.
That is what he defines as sadhusanga.
Sadhusanga, when you surrender to
the devotees. Surrender to the devotees.
That's why it's the second stage. First you have faith, then you surrender. Then you want to do what they do, Bhajana Kriya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then your beginning stage will be unsteady because of anartas, and then when the anartas are removed, then it becomes steady. And when devotional service is steady, that will give you a taste. Taste will turn into attachment, attachment into bhava, bhava into faith.
Somebody who is not able to still appreciate that sukruti has not even...
It hasn't developed yet. So it may be in other areas, like Prabhu was saying, the other examples, that maybe they're great at doing certain devotional activities or engaging their nature in Krishna's service very nicely, technically very perfectly, done very well. They may be able to follow the etiquette, they may not. I got the idea that the example he was saying before is that they do everything right, but they're not necessarily the greatest guys to be around as far as culture goes. So that's the whole thing, is that wherever is the area they advance, that's good. That's why Samkirtan means all these opportunities are there. Like somebody, let's say, loves being around the devotees, but then, maybe doesn't chant regularly or other things like that. So they haven't gotten to that. Or they like doing book distribution. Or they like kirtan, but don't like japa. Like japa, don't like kirtan. Like prasad, don't like anything else. Like halava, don't like all the other prasad. It's just wherever it is that it catches their attention, they'll advance. I remember one guy, he was this hardcore, natural food freak. Right? If this conjures up any kind of some scars for anybody. He wouldn't touch sugar. He wouldn't even be in the same room as sugar. But the fun part was, is because he loved sweet rice. You'd always see him when he's at the temple, at the feast, he's got a cup of sweet rice, and he's always drinking it and talking about how fabulous it is. He doesn't eat the halva because it's a sweet. That means it's got sugar in it. But sweet rice, you know, it's just milk and, you know, he says, what's in this? It's milk, and, you know, it's milk, you know, rice cooked in milk. It's great. You know, so he drank so much sweet rice, that guy. But he wouldn't touch other things. You understand? So that's the point, is he'll make advance. Or I said that when Babu in Calcutta, he loved reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. But you bring up being vegetarian, he'd freak out. You know, he's, you know, how you say, his matcha jewel is very important. You know? Does that make sense? No? It was fish and gravy. So to save you from, because that, you know, what's that? It's going,
Maharaj, this, about this Sukruti working.
Yes.
One devotee was sharing that there was a person, life member, who was coming for decades to Pune temple.
Right.
So one day, for a new bhakta, he comes and tells, what preaching you people do? Okay. From decades I am coming, till now you didn't preach to me nicely, I am not even chanting. So he, then the new bhakta tells, what to say about us? Even lifetimes together you can't chant, you don't have that. Then he, on the face he criticized him, then he got shocked. Next, immediately started 16 rounds.
Yeah, so like that. It's that simple. So that direct aspect is there, because we're always afraid, oh, the direct will scare them away. Maybe advanced technique will scare them away. Advanced levels of culture and other things like that may scare them away. But the principles of Krishna consciousness and the direct activities of Krishna consciousness, why should that scare somebody? You know, because we're not making a distinction between the details of Bhagavat, the details of Pancharatra, the details of the Vedic, what's their hierarchy, you know, what's the principle, how that applies to all these things. That's why it's always given. Like here, that since, okay, Krishna, full of all powers, along with Balarama and others, and all others, worship the same, with items of worship, starting with Swagata, using proper items. So they use the proper technique with the proper item. Since Krishna was the root form of all of them, by worshiping them, worship of Krishna was also accomplished. That's technique. That's advanced technique. But the whole point is you're just seeing Krishna all the time. So someone is may not catch that. You know, they just know you have to worship Guru because they represent Krishna in this way, like that. But then they don't know all the aspects of how they represent Krishna. They just know the primary aspect, they represent Krishna. And then we'll look at, how does he represent Krishna? He joined after me, and he was so attached to halva. I remember once we caught him, he had a bucket of halva in his locker. How can he be advanced? Right? Got to be advanced. He had a whole bucket in his locker. How much did you have in your locker? Right? You know, only half a bucket. So therefore, that was a symptom. Why, you know, you should have noted at that time.
Prabhupada brings the same point in when Krishna is worshipping Sudama Brahmana. He uses the word Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanaitaya. So the Brahmanas have to be worshipped and Sudama Utra is worshipped. And then he brings, and Krishna is the supreme Brahmana.
Yes, yes. So then they represent the supreme Brahmana. Because that's the whole point, is that the Brahmanas are connected with scripture, following the scripture, and about understanding Brahman. And so depending on if they're just generic Brahmins, then they're called Brahmins. But if they're more advanced in their understanding of Brahman, then they're called Vaishnavas. Right? And then within that, then you have a hierarchy. So that's all. It's the Brahminical culture. It's just where you're situated. So all it is then devotees may come in to not have a Brahminical nature, but take up the Brahminical qualities of things about Krishna. So they're Vaishnav by their realization. They may not be Brahman by their technique so much, you know, in mechanical technique, but, you know, they engage their nature. But it's still counted as Brahman. Does that make sense? Because it's about Brahman. That's why it's called Brahminical culture. Right? You have Varnashram, you know, Dharma, Brahminical culture. It's not called Kshatriya culture, Shudra culture. And that means the whole thing. Brahminical culture means the whole. All eight Varnas and Ashram. Because it's about understanding Brahman. Okay. Therefore, Lord Krishna said that the neophyte cannot understand the importance of great sages, devotees, or ascetics. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, by serving holy places and deities whose glories are proved in the scriptures, humans destroy their faults and develop spiritual knowledge. Right? So if sin goes away, you develop knowledge, karma and jnana, right? That is, how you say? Knowledge and detachment. Right? That is true, but this occurs by your presence to a much higher degree. He expresses lamentation. Bodies of water like rivers do not purify just by seeing them. Deities made of earth or stone, which are non-different from the devata, since the devata resides there, do not purify just by seeing them. But the saintly persons purify others just by being seen. So that's the whole point, is that these others means just by seeing, you have to take a bath in the holy place. You have to do the worship of the deity. Then it gradually starts to purify, right? But seeing the sage, immediately, you're going to bring up Jamuna.
No, oh. The deity. Because when we come to the temple and we see the Lord, it doesn't purify us immediately, like here at Amarga.
But what are you doing by seeing them?
Praying.
Okay. But the point is the process of seeing them count, of taking darshan, seeing as part of the devotional process. So you're applying process. For the smartas, until they do rituals, there's no engagement, because for them it's just, there is no eternal form of the Lord. For them it's just a deity. So only when you do worship, it's the place for which the worship goes.
So for us,
it's like an ATM. Does seeing the ATM, do you get money?
Would be good.
Yeah, you just look at it and then it's in your wallet. Right? Yeah.
Not from your account.
Huh?
Not from your account.
Well, that's another thing. You understand?
So for us, the
why
weavers,
not from your account? Just get all other accounts in your account. So.
That's what I said. It's from my account. There.
No, but it comes out of yours.
Yeah. It's a little detail.
Yeah.
What about the reverse then for us?
We understand, because we're doing devotional service. We know about that because we've come in contact. But what we're saying is these religionists and all that, they get purified very slowly. But by just seeing the sages, because they're connected with them, they get purified. Okay. Does that make sense?
If they appreciate the sage, it doesn't matter.
No, just by seeing them, they'll get benefit. So like those who saw Prabhupada, they get benefit. Now, if they appreciate, they'll get more benefit.
And for example, if we say the devotee is doing harinam, for example, and regular people, they see them, they get the benefit.
Yeah, why not?
They get the benefit by hearing the holy name,
yeah,
and seeing the devotees.
Yes, yeah, because they see people who are chanting the holy name. You know, and they're enthusiastic.
How is
this?
How is seeing the sages purifying you? Just by seeing,
what means you want to know the mechanical thing about, you know, you know, when it reflected off your the retina, or when, you know, when it's upside down, so do I get the full benefit, or do I only get upside down, so it's only when it goes into the brain and then it turns it right side up and all that. But now both eyes are seeing, so there's actually two impressions. So do I get the double benefit, or, you know, I have the double benefit, but then when it goes into my brain, then it becomes one, so do I lose half the benefit? Well, the same kind as when it's two, it's actually upside down, so then does that lose half the benefit there, so then actually I end up with the same benefit. So seeing the sages doubly but upside down will give me the same benefit as singly right side up. Is that what you're talking about? So then what's to not understand? They're devoted to the Lord. Anyone devoted to the Lord, being pleasing to the Lord, then anybody who sees them, that's pleasing to the Lord. Is that good?
Yes. Srinivas Prabhu was recently telling, he went to Ganga Sagar, so they, Prabhu was telling, they were chanting, and immediately all the people around in the Mela, they are raising their hands and chanting.
Yes.
So he was telling that how Prabhupada has given this moment.
Yes.
So beautiful.
Yes, it's just so nice.
And then he said, it's a very unique thing about this one. Nowhere else anybody sees in the magazine and they say hi. But seeing a person and then
sometimes they see devotees. If there's one, they may or may not, but sometimes when there's a group, you know, even their others say, I don't know how you are, like that, just to get your attention.
Yeah,
so that's the whole thing. Because the devotees following Prabhupada's order, trying to please him, then they represent him. And by seeing one of the symptoms of a pure devotee, or the Uttamadhikar, is just by seeing, you chant. So when someone's committed to following, then they represent. So just by seeing the devotee, even they may not be an Uttama, because they represent, therefore then the person responds as if seeing a Uttamadhikar. That's the importance of the chit potency in following it. And all this, you know, analytical kind of stuff that's you know, how you say, modern analytical stuff, then it's not proper. So we see here is that we're saying religion is for the neophytes, because they accept God and they accept that worship. Does that make sense? Like that. So therefore then religionists, and sometimes they take a step down, they accept God, but then they're more like rationals, they just analyze. So they see that things have to be done and what it's for, like this. And then, you know, it just keeps going down from there.
When in Nectar of Devotion it is said that there is a 5 more important items.
Yes, yes.
So can we say that inside this 5, association of devotees is the most important?
Yes, out of them is the most important. Because without that, you won't do the other 4. So that's why it says you should perform devotional service in the association of those more advanced.
Yes.
So it's not that, but of techniques to be applied, then it's going to be chanting. Because that's the first thing you're going to get from the devotees. But that won't come without devotees. So Agyata Sukriti happens because of devotees. That comes to the point where then you get, it comes to the point of Shraddha. But that came because of the devotees. And now, then when it goes further, now you appreciate devotees. Before you just associated, but you didn't know. But the point is if you keep it up and do it properly, then it will come to that point where you appreciate it. So that's the whole thing. Even as a neophyte, if we don't appreciate, we continue the process, we will appreciate. That's the whole point. But if you know that that's there, then you pay a little more attention to it. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's the whole point, is that all these religious principles, then by performing them, you get the benefit. By just seeing the sages, then just by seeing, you get the benefit. Right? So that means anything arranged by the devotees, then that's why it would work. So Maharaj is saying, okay, but the deity worship's been arranged by the devotees. That's why, just by seeing it, you'll get benefit. But it's because of the devotees. Right? Like that. If you just see a deity not by the devotees, then you don't really get much. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Neither the demigods controlling fire, the sun, the moon and the stars, nor those in charge of earth, water, ether, air, speech, and mind, actually remove the sins of their worshippers, who continue to see in terms of dualities. But the wise sages destroy one's sins when respectfully served for even a few moments. So these others, because the duality is there when you're dealing with all these demigods. But then when you're seeing these great sages, because of their connection with the Supreme, then service to them, then it says in a few moments you remove so much sin. The BBT purport states, right? So that's why you have to focus there. It's not that everybody is not involved in the process, but where's the process going? So the advanced devotees are the focus. And you see that everybody's engaged in there. Not that, okay, focusing on advanced devotees, that's more hardcore preaching, and nowadays that won't work, so we know we get more into the community, so therefore we're going to focus on the community member, you know, and not on the advanced soul. That doesn't really matter, you know, it's all about them. And that, then it just takes on a sentimentality that then it doesn't. The point is that the both have to be there at once. Prabhupada, you know, when he talked about the League of Devotees and his systems that were there, the system for using to preach the community was already given. It was one of the first things he developed. He developed community preaching before he developed the whole you know, temple scene and all that, because in India, who's going to move into the temple? No, so it was community. So that was developed first. So this idea is, oh, we have to do something. It was never developed. It developed long before. Where did that come from? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He made it how to apply this into the system where you're dealing with the Western culture. And before that, then it was also theirs, because you have all these things, to opportunities to associate. You know, you regularly hear and chant about these. You have the samskaras, you have the festivals, you have the yajnas, have all that. And what's supposed to happen at that? Hearing from the sages. Right? The whole Bhagavatam spoken at Naimisharanya at a yajna. The Mahabharata is spoken at a yajna. Because you're having the yajna, but the most important thing of the yajna is actually the sages that are there and the discussions on spiritual subject. That's what it's for. So it's already there. So this idea is, oh, now we're Western, we figured it out, because the Vedic culture couldn't come up with this, because they're so far away from reality and we're in the real reality. So then that's the problem. It's this false ego, this ignorance gets in the way. This false identity gets in the way. And one can't see things as they are. But all these things have already been given before, so we simply have to use our intelligence to apply them. That's the point. That's relevant. Relevant teaching, relevant preaching, is that we take what's already there and make it relevant to the people who we're interacting with. And that's always changing. Just because you figure this out, then it doesn't... So all it is that Prabhupada came and gave the transcendental method. The devotees that were there figured out how to make it relevant for the hippies. Thousands of people joined. Like that. Now people aren't making it relevant for the people today, therefore very few join. They may be able to make it relevant in the community, but they don't know how to train them so that they're of the same quality like a temple devotee. So therefore it's not that, oh, we're doing so much better. It's kind of like, well, maybe we're doing a little less better. You know what I'm saying? So we have to see what's the result in connection with Krishna. Not just, oh, if it's good qualities, then that's good enough. No, when it's bhakti, it's good enough. Otherwise, deers are really nice. You know? Like that. I even think otters are nice. You know? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.